This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Well, on Monday night, Vancouver Park Board commissioners unanimously approved ABC Commissioner Marie-Claire Howard's motion of directing Park Board staff to think big and outside the box in generating new commercial revenue to help support the growing cost of operating parks and recreation programs and replacing and expanding existing facilities that are aging and no longer meet the demand. Now, the discussion about generating revenue has some suggesting new restaurants on Park Board property, potentially, or perhaps even during bringing back the Ferris wheel and zip line attractions at Queen Elizabeth Park. Joining me to talk about the potential new venues and the desire to generate new revenue is Marie-Claire Howard. She is an ABC Park Board Commissioner. Marie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So, what pushed you to introduce this particular motion?
Well, as we were looking at the budget for 2023, it was fairly easy to realize that we had expenses that looming expenses that are well above our capacity to revenue to generate revenues right now, mm-hmm. and we also thought that Park Board was leaving money on the table, if you want, by not exploring more commercial partnerships on its parks and on the beaches.
Mm-hmm. What were those? I'm just curious. Those big costs that you see coming down that you're concerned about.
Well, the biggest one is climate change. We can't wait. We need to act, and that's going to cost a lot of money that we need to find. In the Think Big motion, we're looking not just at commercial partnership, but partnership with other levels of government. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking particularly about the federal government in terms of helping out with our need to adapt our parks and our beach, our seawalls, basically, to the new weather that we are getting.
What's the cost? I've heard a few numbers to run. Right now, what's a rough estimate to fix the seawall to make it at least more resilient when it comes to climate change?
Well, there's no number yet, and that's why you're hearing lots of numbers, because there's no numbers.
Okay.
There's some preliminary numbers being thrown around that replacing the seawall as is would cost upwards of $250,000-$300,000, and that's just the seawall around Stanley Park. We have not taken into account the fact that we need to fix the seawall on the west side of Vancouver as well, which is it's disappearing. The beach are disappearing. The stairwells, staircase are disappearing. Kitsilano Beach is at risk. So there is no number. We just know it's going to be a very high number. We're still at the preliminary stage of assessing what needs to be done and in what order.
So in regards to generating that revenue, and you have expenses, and as you were saying, restaurants, I think of the restaurants at Prospect Point, think of other Park Board property or taxpayer property, however you wish to refer to it. Are you open to perhaps allowing restaurants to open, pop-up restaurants, or perhaps actual physical structures that may need to be built and where you would perhaps collect lease space or rent from those facilities? Is that something that you would be open to?
That's what we have asked staff to look into. Looking at restaurants, I'm thinking pop-up beach cafes that would open, that would not be permanent structure, that would open from May to September when the weather is nice. It's just at the idea stage. We ask staff to look into what was feasible.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to stress, we're not expecting to build enough cafes and restaurants to generate enough revenue to fix the seawalls around Vancouver.
Well, it's $250 million, and like I said, those are not your numbers, other people's numbers. There's only really two levels of government, that's provincial or federal government. And to be honest, with that kind of number, you got to have a significant amount of buy-in from the federal government. So that's I don't expect the Park Board or the City Hall to be handling that $250 million expense. Now, one of the other things that has proven popular in the past, Ferris wheel and zip line attractions at Queen Elizabeth Park. Could you see that becoming more permanent during the spring and summer months? Because it seemed to attract the people, and it did raise some decent amount of money for the city, for the Park Board,
So, that's exactly what we're looking at, is looking at what has been popular in the past and ask staff to look at it and see how they can either bring it back or bring back something similar or different or new. Just think outside the box. We had a previous government that was determined not to work with the private sector in making our parks lively. We want to change that perspective. So this is what we did. We asked the staff at Park Board to identify what are the opportunities that would make the city more fun for everyone, be accessible to everybody, and generate revenue.
I'm just looking at the numbers here for the, I believe it was a zip line. In regards to the, it was in summer of 2015, the temporary zipline attraction at the Quarry Garden at Queen Elizabeth Park, over 87 days of actual operation, that's weather permitting, of course, the zipline saw over 23,000 riders, with 75% came to Queen Elizabeth Park just for the zipline, and the private operator generated $335,000 in revenue, with $45,000 going to the Park Board, based on a formula, and I think it was 10% for the first the $250,000 in revenue. Anything above that, you get a little bit more, 35, 40%, depending on how much revenue is coming in. Do you worry that some critics will accuse you and others who are looking at these options and saying, wait a minute, you're commercializing parks. Parks should be a place for serenity. Parks should be a place that shouldn't be turned into, and these are my words, not anybody else's, Disneyland, that we shouldn't be, these are public grounds paid for by taxpayers, sustained by taxpayers, that we shouldn't commercialize some of our parks the way some are saying. What would you say to those critics?
Well, just because they belong to taxpayers, as you point out, does not mean they need to be neglected. And in order to be properly maintained, we need more revenues. So there's a fine balance that we need to find. We're not pushing the ultra commercialization of the parks. We're looking at finding a balance. A lot of people, and this is what we found when we were meeting voters, you know, door knocking, a lot of people are wondering why we don't have beach cafes in Vancouver. They are all over Europe. They are all over in Australia. And why in Vancouver it's not possible to go down in the summertime and sit at a little temporary cafe and have a glass of wine while you're watching the sunset.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about ultra-commercialization. We're talking on making additional use of our park for population that currently can't or don't use the parks.
It seems like
not to take anything away from anyone, just adding.
It seems like part of this is the past administration as well, and I'm pulling this out of the air, but the Stanley Park train is a classic example of that. Popular with the public. I've certainly, when my son was at a younger age, we came as a family a few times, loved it. He loved it, and you donate money, and of course it helps the firefighters burn fund. But, you know, for the Stanley Park train to be in disrepair, there almost seems to be an institutional desire to let it fade away, to let it, to not take care of it as we should have, because it's an older trains. But other areas do preserve, protect, and maintain the similar trains of that sort. And I'm not saying it's the ABC commissioners. This is something you've inherited. It seems to me there's been a culture in the past of people saying, you know what, we're going to make parks and keep them parks. We're not going to commercialize. Do you think there's a partially you're fighting a past perspective and view from a different administration as well that didn't want to see some of that stuff?
Well, it's hard to tell. We've only been on the job for 2 months, so I cannot pretend to be an expert on what's going on within the staff at Park Board. I don't think so. I think COVID was very hard on on the maintenance of many things. Mm-hmm. And I like to think that there is an energy in the park board to get things back on track. We have been talking to the staff about this drain, and we are hoping that it will be working soon. Just the same as we're hoping that maintenance of our fields, sports fields, will get back on track, and we will start having a schedule that's respected in terms of creating new parks. We've fallen behind other cities in the Lower Mainland, and that's not acceptable. Why that happened, how it happened, I can't tell you. Maybe in 4 years I'll be able to tell you. But I really want to think that there is a desire to make things work.
Well, we will be looking forward to it. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Good to have you on the show. Look forward
You're
to
welcome.
Having you on again.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.